Amen. Give God a shout. Come on. Amen. Well, if you've been around for the last couple of weeks, you know we've been in a sermon series we're calling What Made the New Testament Church Grow. What it is that made the New Testament church grow, and I've been sharing with you from five things that a Roman historian, not a Christian, but he was watching the early church, and he says, I see some things that are pretty consistent that I believe are really keys for the growth and the development of the church, and we've been looking at those. I want to go over those really quickly with you this morning again. And the first thing he said about them was that they were flaming messengers and tireless workers. And we talked about that the first week, that they were literally on fire for God. That they were flaming messengers. They were sharing a message. They were evangelizing. We just heard a word about evangelism. That they were doing it. They were sharing it everywhere they went, what Jesus did. Number two, their belief in the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the future life gave them hope. Number three, their fellowship made them strong and attractive. Number four, the purity of their lives was a validation of their witness of Jesus Christ. So there's that witness again. They didn't just talk it, they lived it. Number five, the evidence of power within the church made them a place for desperate people to turn. So week one, we talked about basically mobilization or evangelism, that we need to be mobilized to evangelize. We need to get out and share the good news. And I'm just telling you, I'm just going to tell you one more time, you know, we got Easter's coming up, okay? Share the good news. We've given you some tools. If you don't have one of these in your hand, you can still invite somebody to come to church on Easter Sunday morning. But evangelize, share with people. Then last week we talked about transformation, that we are determined to disciple. And again, that's why we're really raising up, beginning the Spirit Life Institute. And we're going to be having it over in our Apostolic Training Center. I'm just loving using that terminology, the Apostolic Training Center. We've called it the Family Life Center. But, man, I ought to put her on the spot right now. Gina, come here real quick. Come on, Gina. Come here, man. You're a part of the sermon this morning. Come here. Come on. You just got to share. This was just too good. You know, sometimes you hear prophetic words and you're like, was that really a word from God? Just hang in there. I'm not leaving you. You're wondering, is that really a word from God or not? You know, and then you get this confirming word. How many of you, sometimes you're thankful for the confirming words, you know? And it's like, oh, yeah. And so Gina, we were talking about Spirit Life Institute last week, and we're talking about having it in our Apostolic Training Center. And something just went off inside your spirit. Share it with her real quick.
Yeah.
Hold it up close so they can
hear you. I guess it was a few years ago we were doing Monday night prayer meetings here. And one of the nights we were all just kind of praying on our own, doing our own thing, but really praying for revival. And I had like a vision. And that doesn't... I don't get that. That doesn't happen to me. So it was different and weird, and I didn't know what it meant. But it was like I saw that building, and there was just this blue light coming down right on that building. And the picture like panned out, and you could see little blue lights coming out from it. And wherever they would go, another big blue light would come down, and it was like it was spreading everywhere. And when they started talking about it in the service, and I hadn't heard anything about it, those pictures started coming back to my mind, and I was like, oh, this is so weird. This is crazy. And then you said that it was going to be in that building over there, and I was just like, oh, wow. My dad's like, what's going on? I'm like, I'll tell you later. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So just thank you. You can be seated. Just a confirming word on this thing. I'm just telling you, I'm excited. If you can't tell, I'm just kind of excited. Because I just believe that God's wanting to do some really great things. And listen, not just he's wanting to do, he's doing. I was in a meeting not long ago, and they said, you got to quit using the language of delay. Stop using the language of delay, like God is going to, it's going to happen sometime. No, it's happening now. it's happening now. And so we believe strongly in discipleship. And one of the things that I had shared with you, this vision of our church that I believe that the Lord has given to me, and I hope you'll adopt it as well, is that we will be a church that is so effective at reaching the lost and then discipling the reached. Somebody say reaching the lost and then discipling the reached. Reaching the lost, say it again. And discipling the reached. That we're going to grow to a church that's going to be able to spread and plant other churches that are going to, say it with me, reach the lost and disciple the reached. That's our calling. That's our vision. And I'm looking forward to the day. I was telling the early service, I'm just crazy enough to believe. Somebody says, you're dreaming. That's right. Yeah, I am. I'm dreaming. Don't wake me up. I'm dreaming. I love this dream. This is a good dream. You know, that we're going to have so many volunteers, so many people who are equipped and raised up, and they know who they are, and they're activated. I love that word, activated, today. They're activated in their ministry to the point that I got leaders saying, hey, I got too many volunteers. I don't have enough places for them to serve. Yeah, I'm dreaming. I know I'm dreaming. But so here's what'll happen. It's like, all right, well, let's just start some new places for them to serve. Let's start a new campus somewhere. Let's just do it. Let's just grow this ministry and just share the good news and the love of Jesus Christ. So, preview to next Sunday. I'm excited about next Sunday because the fifth thing that Roman historian talked about was that the power within the church made it a place for desperate people to turn. There were signs, there was wonders, there were miracles. There was all kinds of just crazy God things that were happening, and people were drawn to that. And so as I started thinking about this sermon series, I'm like, okay, what are we going to do when we get to it? And I'm like, well, I'm not doing anything, but God, I'm going to give you a chance to do anything you want to do. So next Sunday, we're going to just have a healing service, a miracle service. Call it whatever you want to call it. I'm telling you, I'm just challenging you. We're seeing it happen. And they've been talking about prophetic words. There have been so many prophetic words spoken about Spirit Life Church being a place of healing and the wells of healing. In fact, it just happened to me again just a few weeks ago. Somebody came to me and says, I was here when, and when I saw you as the pastor of the church, it reminded me of that, and I'm just declaring that there are wells of healing that are springing up in Spirit Life Church. So why not let's just go ahead and tap into those wells right now. Let's just take the lid off and start drinking out of those wells of healing. Listen, I am not a healing evangelist, okay? I'm not Oral Roberts. That's not my thing. But I just believe in the Word of God. I just believe God does stuff. And I just think that if we'll give Him room to operate, hey, if nobody gets healed, it ain't my fault. You know, I'm not, because I'm not the one that's going to heal anybody. But when people get healed, I don't get any credit either, right? When you lay hands on somebody and they're healed, you don't get any credit. God gets all of the glory for that. But we're just going to create space for it to happen. We're just going to create space. So I want to encourage you next week to come with an appetite, to come with an expectancy. Maybe you're going to do some fasting and praying this week. Maybe there's somebody that you know that needs healing in their body. You're going to invite them to come, and we're just going to see what God does. The Apostle Paul was talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, it was like, you know, it's time for talk to end. It's time to let's you know, show and tell. Most of us are more tell than we are show, right? And so it's time to let God do the showing. Let God just come and just confirm His word with signs and wonders and miracles of healing. So that's next Sunday. So, you know, you want to be here because you don't want to miss out on what God's going to do. Today, I want to focus on fellowship. That third reason that the Roman historian gave for the growth of the church was their fellowship made them strong and attractive. Their fellowship. There was a togetherness. They really loved one another. They were there for one another. They really cared for one another. They really helped one another. There's a Greek word, the Greek word koinonia, to describe the level of fellowship as they were really sharing their lives with one another. And I just want to read again from Acts chapter 2. Let's pick up at verse 41. Maybe you've got it memorized because we've read this several times over the last number of weeks. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There's your discipleship and fellowship. Okay, back up. The added under the church. There's your evangelism, discipleship, and fellowship. It's right there. In the breaking of bread and in prayers, then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them all among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Some of the language that you see through there is as they continued in the breaking of bread from house to house, they were sharing meals with one another. They were meeting up at Panera or whatever they were doing that day to break bread. The believers were together, it says, that they were taking care of each other's needs. And so there was just this environment of really loving one another and being there for one another, taking care of one another. When we're talking about fellowship, I'm not just talking about an ice cream social or a church picnic. I'm talking about something that's a whole lot deeper than that. I'm not against ice cream socials and church picnics. I mean, I believe you feed them and they will come. I mean, I love to eat like anybody else. But it's not just about getting together and eating. It's about really doing life together, a community of faith, a community of love. You know, I don't have to tell you, there's a lot of strife and hatred in the world today. I mean, it's like getting worse. And people are just getting beat down. They're just fighting through life, just trying to survive, and just getting criticized and beat up and knocked down and hurt and ridiculed and just all the negative stuff that happens. Maybe it happens at your workplace, where the way that people get ahead is by stepping on you in order to advance their cause. Maybe in homes there's strife and division, and it's just, life is just tough. And so when people come to church, they're looking for love. When people come to church, they're looking for people who are going to just wrap their arms around them, and church is this safe place where I can come just as I am, the way that the old hymn. Remember the old hymn? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am. Sometimes we think that people are supposed to come to church already fixed. That's crazy, right? I remember the days of old where, sometimes churches that carried the name holiness, it was almost like they expected sinners to act like Christians before they even became Christians. And problem is, I know too many Christians that don't even act like Christians once they're Christians. You cannot expect a sinner to act like a Christian. They're sinners. That's right. It's like you don't expect your dog to meow. If your dog meows, you better take him to the vet. Something's wrong with that dog. If your cat's barking, there's a problem there. Cats meow, that's their nature. Dogs bark, that's their nature. Sinners sin, that's their nature. But Christians should be like Christ, because we got we're new creations in Christ Jesus. We got a new nature inside of us. And so we want to be a place where people can come with all the brokenness, with all the pain, with all the hurt in their lives, and say, but those people, they love me, and they accept me, and they're not expecting perfection, and they're not criticizing me and judging me and putting me down because of the mistakes that I've made in my life. Instead, they're encouraging me and telling me that there's this man named Jesus that can fix every problem that I've got. There's this man named Jesus who can take me above and make me victorious over the issues of my life. There's this man named Jesus who can heal me of all of the brokenness and the hurt and the pain in my life. It's this man named Jesus. And the people love him, and they love one another. I'm telling you, there is something magnetic about that. That will draw people. Sometimes that's not really the picture of the church, unfortunately. As a pastor, I'm all too aware that people sometimes get hurt at churches. Yeah, it happens. I'm not saying that it should happen. I'm just saying it does. Maybe somebody just spoke out of turn and they don't even know that they hurt somebody else. But sometimes people got these wounds from church. I was talking to someone earlier this morning, and they were remembering when we would go out and we would do evangelism explosion. And he was remembering one night we were in a laundromat here just down the road from the church, and just witnessing, sharing our faith with Jesus. And he had talked to this man who was there washing his clothes, and the guy said, "You know, I used to go to church." And then he began to tell this story of something that happened that was really painful. And he said, I just gave up, and I don't go to church anymore. We need to reach these unchurched people. And we need to be the kind of church, the kind of community, the kind of fellowship that just is so full of the love of Jesus. Just so full of the love of Jesus that they say, "I want to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of that church." You know, it's the love of Jesus. We talk about Jesus. And that's what we need to be talking about. It's Jesus crucified. It's Jesus buried and raised from the dead. It's Jesus. He's the one that fixes stuff. We were talking earlier, we don't heal people. Jesus heals people. We can't save anybody. Jesus saves them. But we need to tell them about the Jesus and love them to the Jesus that can change their lives. Jesus said, "By this all men shall know that you're my disciples if you heal the sick and raise the dead." No, that's not what he said. No, that's not what he said. Wait a minute, let me help me out here a minute. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you give a lot of money to the poor." No, wait a minute. No, that's not what he said. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you operate in all the spiritual gifts and you prophesy and speak in tongues." No, wait a minute. No, that's not what he said. Somebody help me out. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you..." You know it. If you love one another. If you love one another. The Bible has all kinds of things that we're supposed to do for one another. We're supposed to pray for one another and encourage one another and lift up one another. But one of the greatest things we got to do is we got to love one another. And we got to keep unity in that love, unity in this body, unity in the community. It's not always easy. The Bible talks about endeavoring to keep this spirit of unity and the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means you got to put a little extra effort into that. It doesn't just happen naturally. Sometimes we got to say things like, "I forgive you." And sometimes we have to say things like, "I was wrong. Please forgive me." And that works in all of our relationships, whether it's in the church family or whether it's in your own family. I heard recently, was reminded, somebody said that to have a good marriage, you got to have a good reverse gear in your car. You got to be able to back up and say, "Whoa, did I really say that? I'm sorry. I am sorry. Please forgive me." And sometimes we need to do that in the church as well. And sometimes we just need to, I don't know, just have one of them old-fashioned hugging services and just love on one another and just say, I forgive you and I love you, and let's just bury the hatchet and get along with one another. If I'm talking, I don't know that I'm talking to anybody today, but if I'm talking to somebody today, just listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying and follow through and do whatever it is that you need to do to get that stuff out of you so that you can be in unity in the community of the body of Christ. So, let's get real practical here, and I'm wrapping this thing up. What is it? How can you get more connected, get into the kind of relationships that we're talking about, where you're doing life together, where you're encouraging one another, where you know one another? Because I'm just telling you, I've seen it again and again. People who are in small groups, people who are connected, they tend to stay in church and they're happier in church and serve more in church. And people who are just kind of isolated on their own, kind of just walking into the service and then leaving, walking into the service and leaving. And then you find out, like, where's so-and-so, what's going on? Well, they're in the hospital, they had this surgery, and nobody knew about it. It's like, well, we didn't even know. No, why? Because nobody knew. They didn't know that individual. But then you find out, sometimes as a pastor, I'm the last one to know, period. Just the last one to know. But sometimes I'm the last one to know that, yeah, so-and-so was in the hospital and said, "Oh, really? Yeah, and And their Sunday school class came alongside of them, and they're bringing meals over to their house, and they're, you know, taking care of their child that needs some babysitting or whatever it is that's going on. And the family is just loving one another. And that's the way Jesus designed it. I mean, he did life with his disciples in the early church. They did life together. They were in community with one another. And that's really what we're looking for. And so I'm going to ask Caleb, if you'll come up. Caleb is our connections director. And I just want you to just take just a few minutes and just share some of the ways, if you've been here for a while, but you haven't really figured out what the on-ramp is. How do I get into some of these areas? How do I get involved? How do I join up? Caleb's going to tell you how to do that right now.
Don't get tired of my voice, okay? You've heard a lot from me, okay? So yeah, let's talk about how do we actually practice this thing that the Lord's calling us to, called community, right? And what we are doing right now, but let's just start from the beginning. Step one, if you're a new guest here, if you just reconnected, if you just dedicated your life to Christ, if you've just rededicated your life to Christ, it doesn't matter where you are. If you've done membership 101 in the past, the first step right now, we call it next step. The first step is to take the next step. And we have a Next Steps portal. We had Membership 101, which was a physical class once a month. We made it a little bit more accessible to everyone to do it online. You could actually get it on your phone right now. And there's going to be a QR code that's going to show up right behind me. There it is. Okay. So you hover that, if you hover your camera right over that QR code, you might want to bring it up a little bit, and then you press that little link there. It'll bring you to the Next Steps portal. What you're going to see there is our core beliefs, our core values, right? You're going to see short videos from our pastoral staff, get to know them a little bit more, get to know their ministries. This is really important for us. We want you to know us, and we want to know you. So also a part of that is a spiritual gifts survey, or a little inventory, and it tells us a little bit about you, not just your spiritual gifts, but also your personality, some things that that it's very key for us to know how to get you connected within our community. And so that's a natural follow-up for us. Go ahead.
Because as we were talking earlier about being activated in the ministry, and many of you stood up saying, yeah, I'm not really sure what I need to do, this step right here, just taking a spiritual gift inventory, can help us to know a little bit more about what it might be that God has equipped and gifted you to do that's just natural for you. It's not like trying to be a round peg in a square hole. It's really that you're designed for this space, and we can help you find that.
And so that's really helpful for us and for you, I believe. And so if you go ahead and start that, it literally takes about 30, 45 minutes if you go through all of it. And we'll follow up with you sometime this week if you get on that. Then we always encourage, as we know your spiritual gifts, everyone has a gift of grace, everyone has a portion of faith, you have lovely personalities, we get to connect you with a ministry team here. Something that me and Pastor Tommy talk about all the time is that we want all of our ministry teams to have a small group culture, right? We want it to be growing in relationship with one another, as well as growing in God and serving God. It's not about you just volunteering. No, you are an essential, and we want you to be an active part of our spiritual family. And so this is a really good way to meet like-minded people, like gifted people that kind of have the same language, have the same passions as you do. And that's just one of the avenues of getting connected. And of course, join a life group, right? Joining a life group. We believe that circles are better than rows. Someone say, circles are better than rows. Face to face, we want to know our hearts. We want to get connected in that way. And so we want to foster that through our small groups. We talk about Spirit Life Institute and our Sunday schools offering the content of discipleship. But there is a context of discipleship, meaning family, right? Who learned to wash dishes on their own? Probably not, right? Who learned to do the cars by yourself, right? Probably not. You connected with someone, even if it was a YouTube channel. You connected with someone to actually help learn that. I'm just told on myself. Anyways, Here it is. So we have about 10 active discipleship groups, or if you may call them small groups, life groups. And there is a yellow sheet in the back there on the guest central table. If you pick one of those up, it'll give you information about all those groups as it is throughout the week. And that is a wonderful way next week if you just want to plug into one of those small groups. And last but not least, there it is. If you have gifts, passions, if you're like, I can't find my place, and you want to make your place, there's enough room, right? And we want to foster that and nurture that. So possibly you have a passion and a heart to start a life group or to start a ministry team. And we want that to be something that we invite you into. We believe that, and Pastor Tommy says it all the time, the kingdom moves at the pace of relationship. How do I start one? Well, we want to get to know you. We want to get to know you, not just your giftings, not just your passions. We want to get to know who you are. We want to come together. We want to dream with you. We want to strategize with you. We want to resource you and support you and make a space for you, because there's enough room. Look around. Say, there's enough room. All right? So those are a couple ways that we're practically addressing this beautiful, wonderful thing called community.
Thank you, Caleb. Let Caleb know how much you love him. So here is a next step that's just really practical. It's the first Sunday of the month. We're talking about community, being a part, belonging, on-ramping. If you're here and you would like to be a member of Spirit Life Church, I just think that that's a pretty good follow-up for a message on community. If you like, I've been coming to Spirit Life Church long enough, and I like what I see, and I really believe that the Lord is calling me to be planted into this community, to build relationships with this body, to use my gifts to serve, and to be blessed by the gifts of the body as they serve me. And you're like, I'm ready to do that. I want to join Spirit Life Church. Today's the day, and right now is the time. If that's you, I invite you to step out and come forward. Right here, we got a family that's coming. Over here, a family that's coming. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, right on down to the middle, guys. Yeah, y'all just come right down to the middle and turn around and face these folks. They're your families. You're joining them, not me. So you've been getting to know some of these folks over the last few weeks and hearing from them. And I'm just going to let them quickly introduce themselves to you, and then we're just going to pray over them and bless them and welcome them into our family. So just.
Good morning. My name's Bonnie Walter.
Is that, that's on good and loud?
Bonnie Walter.
There we go.
And I'm delighted to become a part of this family and excited about what God's doing here.
Yeah.
Amen.
They don't know your name. Tell them your name.
My name's Greg Walter. Obviously, this is my wife, Bonnie. I've known Pastor Tommy for quite a while and Pastor Norm before that, and been here many times, and feel like this is where God wants us to plant. So
yes.
We believe in planting in the house of the Lord. Got to be planted if you want to grow. Tumbleweeds don't grow very well, so here we are.
Amen.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Cindy Lister, and I'm very happy to be here and feeling the move of the Spirit. We were searching for a church that was moving in the Spirit, and we found it.
Amen. So. Yeah.
My name is Jack Lister, and I could tell you a long story of how we ended up here, but I will spare you the details. Except to say the Spirit of God led us here, and I'm so glad he did.
Amen. Well, we've been reading it over the last couple of weeks, and it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved, those that were being saved. And so that's how they joined the church. They got saved. They were members of the church. Bonnie, you know you're saved? Greg, you know you're saved? Pretty sure. Carol, I mean, Cindy, I don't know why I said Carol. Cindy, you know you're saved. Jack, you know that. No shadow of a doubt. Not ashamed of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Stretch your hands out this way, and let's pray over these folks. Father, Lord, we just thank you for these two couples, Lord. We just bless them. I thank you, Father, for the gifts that you're bringing into this house. Lord, you've got plans for Spirit Life Church, and Lord, these folks are a part of that plan. I thank you, Lord, for them, for all the things that they're bringing to us, and Lord, we embrace them, and Lord, we share with them all that we have. Lord, we want to embrace them and love them, welcome them, help them to get planted and involved in using their gifts and their talents, and Lord, we just want to see this place continue to grow for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. You guys may be seated. And I want to do one more thing before we go. If you're here today and it's like, you know, this thing that's going on, I don't know that I fully understand it, but I sense this, there's a realness to it. There's an excitement. This Jesus, he really does love me and he really does want to change my life. Maybe the next step that you need to take is to invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And so if you just bow your head and close your eyes, if there's anyone in this place today and you're saying, this Jesus that you're talking about that loves people in their brokenness and that you don't have to get perfect before Jesus loves you, you just come as you are with all the pain and the mistakes that we've made, and we just give it to Jesus, surrender our life to him, and he'll take us and forgive us of all of our sin. He'll heal our broken hearts. He'll turn our lives around and get us back on the right track. And I want that. I need that. If that's you and you know that you need to invite Jesus to come into your heart and save you today, would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. Looking around the room, I don't see any hands lifted. I hope that means that everybody here knows for sure that you're a born-again child. Wait a minute, I do see a hand lifted. Thank you. Thank you. Is there somebody else? Anybody else? I don't want to rush through this. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. You're ready to turn your life over to Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to invite you. You raise your hand. I do it in different ways at different times, but this morning I just want to invite you. If you meant business by raising your hand, would you be willing to just come down and meet me right here at the altar? I want to pray with you. I'm not want to embarrass you, but would you step out and come? Would you step out and come? Thank you. Anybody else? You'd step out and come. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. If you raise your hand but you didn't come, you can still pray this prayer with me. Would you just do that right now, right here, standing right here? Anyone that's here, maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you know this is what you need to do. Maybe there's some that are, you're watching the service online right now, and that's what you need to do. I invite you to be a part of this as well. Would you just pray this simple prayer? I want to ask everybody in the room, would you just pray this prayer out loud with me right now? Dear Jesus, I come to you, and I humbly confess that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I need you, Lord. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Heal the brokenness in my life. Set me on the right path. I repent and turn away from my old ways, and I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. So thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Amen. Come on, church, let's rejoice. Hallelujah. I want our prayer team to just minister. In fact, would you just all stand with me? We're going to dismiss the service. I'd like to invite the prayer team to come down to the front. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything that's going on in your life and you just want somebody to stand with you in agreement, the prayer team, come on, prayer team, come quickly on down to the front so that they know that you're here to meet them, and we're going to pray with you if you need prayer. If you ask Jesus to come into your life, whether you came to the altar or whether you were still in your seat, but you know that you meant that, if you'll see one of these prayer team